滴滴出行 China's largest car hailing app has suspended its Hitch service, or 顺风车 in Chinese, nationwide, starting from today, and has fired two senior executives after a ride-sharing passenger was raped and killed allegedly by a driver of Didi Hitch. This is the tragedy that, that happened only after 3 months since a similar murder incident sparked wide public rage. So it is really time for this company to overhaul its practice. But first of all,
what exactly happened?
Let's try to revisit the facts.
Yeah, the tragedy sadly happened in Zhejiang province last Friday. The victim was a 22-year-old female passenger surnamed Zhao. She took a Didi Hitch car, a carpooling service offered by China's largest ride-hailing company, Didi Chuxing, excuse me. And an hour later, she sent a help text message to friends before losing contact. That's according to the statement Yueqing police posted on Weibo platform. Also on Saturday morning, the police arrested the suspect, a 27-year-old Didi driver surnamed Zhong, who admitted that he raped and killed the victim. And also earlier today, I think, the latest development found actually this driver, Mr. Zhong, committed also robbery before raping and killing the lady. And also, this is the second tragic incident that has happened related to the platform. And I think in May, there was another, also there was a flight, a stewardess that hitched a ride over in the middle of the night and was raped and killed.
Yeah, this kind of tragedy has not only really greatly saddened us, but also got our attention to Didi Chuxing, or this kind of car hailing app. An equivalent in the U.S. would be Uber, and Uber's China operation has been absorbed by Didi Chuxing, and now it is the biggest app. And when you talk about hailing a car on the street, this is the first app most people go to. So this is quite unsettling for people to think about.
Well, it is. Let me explain, express my condolences to the family members of Ms. Zhang, the victim over there. It's a shocking story. Such a young life was lost. I mean, senseless killing by this driver, Didi Chuxing driver. If you look at the record of the driver, he is 27 years old, obviously has an integrity problem, and his parents actually complained a lot about his behavior of being lazy, staying at home, basically borrowing money from online service, at least 50 cases, a lot of debt from him. And he didn't stick much longer, much long to his previous jobs. And finally, I think he lost in money in his, what do we call, a Zhenzhu Naicha, the store.
Bubble tea, yeah.
Bubble tea, closed it and borrowed the money and bought the car that was used in this incident here. And there's a problem with this driver, and I just wish that if there's enough vetting process, mm-hmm, of the service provider, the, yeah, drivers here for the carpooling, and then I guess there's already a red alert to Didi management. We got to be careful with this driver. Mm-hmm. Let's check if there's a criminal record or if there are some bad behavior being registered with this young driver. Mm-hmm. And then there's a I think enough level of a warning should be recorded there. So somehow, obviously, it is not the case.
Yeah, I think certainly the vetting process is what everybody is talking about. And we want to feel safe and be safe, mm-hmm, when we enter the car of a stranger. But we got it from your app, and it's due to the trust of the app.
A good point here that, if you follow the Chinese regulation, the service provider actually is required to provide the safety. Whatever safety issue will be in the responsibility of the provider.
Yeah.
Not only the driver, but also the platform, Didi Chuxing here.
Yes, and I think it's good that this has been written down, but how is it being implemented? And here, there's actually one thing in defense of Didi, the company, that needs to be stated here. That is, the company, according to the company's statement, there is no criminal record found on this suspect. And the car passed all checks as well, but it's just that this driver put a fake number plate on the car as the crime was being conducted. So if we, in light with that information, I don't know how much better the company can vet.
A good point here. That is, like, you know, even the day before the crime was committed, they received a complaint about the driver. Actually, the driver was trying to flirt with a young female passenger. Obviously, the passenger was
the same driver.
Yeah, same driver, annoyed, and filed a complaint to Didi Chuxing, and somehow it failed to alert the management, the customer service. I mean, they should be careful. Hey, here's a young driver, and he tried to, let's call it sexual harassment with the young female, the passenger. Obviously, there's a potential of a problem here.
That seems to be the case with all suspects that have committed crime or wrongdoing on using that platform. I think in the May case, the suspect was one that was having a problem with his employment status, and his dad actually spent the money to buy the car for him to run the his service on Didi platform. And yes, ever since that incident happened, Didi had taken some measures to increase the strength of vetting process. Actually, I think I noticed a change that every time I take a taxi using the Didi platform, the driver always had to scan his face in front of his smartphone just to verify that this actually is the driver who registered with the platform that is running that is driving the car. So it's not like the Didi hasn't done anything to sort of boost the trustworthy or the reliability of the drivers. It's just it seems that they still haven't done enough about it. I think the last time when we talk about the May case, there were a lot of discussion about how Didi was trying to shape the hitch service, which is different from a regular taxi hailing application or taxi hailing service. They were trying to shape this hitch service as something that's more like a social networking service. So the thing with hitch service that actually it's not like people or taxi drivers, they do it for a living. It's like it's the people like us who own a car, who want to go from A to B, and then we can use that platform to release our information that we are going from A to B. And in case someone wanted to go to hitch a ride, and I will go and pick them up. So this kind of thing, this kind of service is really hard to regulate because there's basically no threshold here. I mean, what kind of certification do you have to have? I mean, unless except for a driver's license. I mean, they don't have to go through a training process. There's no vetting process. Let's face it. How far do you want Didi to keep track of whoever, of an average user of that hitch service? I mean, say I'm a regular car owner. I own a car. I'm going from A to B. Do I want Didi to know what kind of job I'm doing? I mean, what kind of people I'm going through, or what kind of financial difficulty I'm going through? I don't want that. So is it possible for Didi to keep track of every hitch driver on that platform? I don't think that's ideal. That's practical.
That's a very interesting point, actually, and very pragmatic, Lai Ming, because here we're seeing that Didi is trying to diversify its service, its business as well. So not only are the, let's say, professional Didi drivers are being employed here, but also what about these people that probably just moonlight or for that short period of time from work to going home and want to drive this so-called car that's only temporary for rental kind of thing. But now it seems like maybe this kind of loose, very voluntary kind of hitch ride service simply cannot make us safe. And there's also another point that a lot of people are talking about, the hitch service or the shunfengche, is that apparently it is a bit cheaper. And
it is cheaper.
now, a lot of white collar workers, I mean, if you look at their paycheck, it's not bad, but they're saying, hey, if I don't take the hitch service, car hailing service, if I don't enjoy that, I find it to be a significant burden, major hit to my wallet. There isn't really much of an alternative that's affordable for me. And in a way, we see that these mega tech companies, they have grown exponentially in the last few years, and they have provided us with convenience like Didi Chuxing it initially have. So you can pretty much get a car to take you home whenever you want, pretty much, although sometimes there's a queue. But now it's like, in order to enjoy that convenience, I pay a lot. It's now with this kind of news, people are kind of left with either paying more for the more specialized car hailing service, or are there alternatives? And this is going to be one of the questions that lots of white collar workers are debating right now.
Well, exactly. People don't like to see monopoly. It's basically okay. There's only one company providing such kind of service, and then basically they dictate the price, dictate the service. This is a monopoly, and usually customers will suffer from that situation. And here, of course, the car, pooling service here, basically share, sometimes sharing the service with another customer, sometimes alone. Usually, it's cheaper. But it's supposed to be like basically regular folks like us, driving from A to B, and then someone needs a ride, you provide the ride, you get a certain amount of payment. That's fine. That's the assumption is like both sides are good people,
Law-abiding
right?
citizens.
Yeah, exactly. And the problem, let me mention about that and how far we can go about vetting. But still, I think probably there's something more we can do along, for example, with their at least about a resume, right? What have you done? What kind of job you have? If you're looking for a job, you need a resume. You need to provide a resume. That's a basic requirement. And for some special cases, they might even cooperate with the local police office and to see the record of, if they have suspicions about some drivers. And also, it's a technical issue. In a dangerous situation, in a risk situation, is there something the customer can do to protect themselves? In this particular case, obviously, the girl just sent out a message like, help. That's not enough, far from being enough. Like a panic button you can crack, you can press, and then there's alert for the police service. In that case, I think probably as customer, we will be better protected.
That's going to be a help button that possibly could be the life-saving
Right.
button.
If there's such a button, you press the button, it's like you are dialing 110, right? And then the police will talk to you. If there's a video service, even better. I think there is some basic service provided to some cities. Basically, you can hold the car and let the police talk to the driver. If you want to do something bad, hear the policeman talking to you.
Wow, interesting.
And of course, I don't think that the driver would be daring enough to do something bad about that. Yeah.
Very interesting. Actually, I think the problem with monopolies actually is superficial. Actually, the problem here is that there is so much demand for taxi hailing services around. I mean, even in cases where they don't have a monopoly, where Didi Chuxing had to compete with, say, another competitor like Meituan Chuxing, there's still the problem with the number of drivers on the road. When you don't have enough drivers on the road, then naturally those drivers will go for the platform that is offering the best policies. I mean, they will naturally go to the platform that is going given the most generous subsidies. That has been the case, I think, a couple of years ago when Didi was competing with Kuaidi before they merged together, and when Didi was competing with Uber, that has been the case like that. I mean, the number of drivers on the road is simply limited to the point that perhaps those prices are not supposed to be low. And when you have low prices in the services that you enjoy, there's got to be some problems.
You make a really good point, Lai Ming, but I think this is possibly the crux of the problem, and this is possibly when we see the ills of these mega tech companies. Lai Ming, you've pretty much mapped out the development stages that Didi has gone through, and gradually it ate up all the competition. And now, look at what choices we have here. And although it's not been categorized as a monopoly yet, but it just seems like, is this going to be a pattern for how the tech world develops? That is, the internet allows one company to grow, balloon, become a mammoth, and then it just eats up the whole market and leaves the customers and also regulators sort of with our hands not knowing where to put because it doesn't matter.
Well, this is the point where you need the regulator to step in and to make the wise judgment whether there is a monopoly or not. And for the big countries, I think big markets, the regulators, they are empowered to make the decision and to break if there is a monopoly and to ask to set some restrictions on the company in their practice to avoid the monopoly situation because that will damage the interests of the customers. If you look at the cases in the European market, there are a lot of them. In China, we are still in the primary stage, and there's a need of more discussion about the monopoly situation here.
And also, there's another point about the issue of privacy. I think if you go back to what happened on Friday, I think at 2 p.m. On Friday, the girl, the victim, already, I think she was still alive. She sent a help message to her friend. And her friend had been trying to contact Didi Chuxing, the company, ever since. I mean, up until 5 p.m., about 5 p.m. on Friday, they managed to reach contact with the police, and then the police was able to get involved. But for the 3 hours between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m., the victim's friend has been trying to get information out of Didi Chuxing, the platform. Because obviously, if you want to know where the car is, I mean, the company must know where the car is because there's a navigation application embedded in the software. So, but the company has been citing privacy issues to sort of refuse to get involved. And also they've been claiming that there's a security expert that is looking into your case, and maybe in an hour we'll have more concrete information for you. And then 1 hour is passed, and then another hour was passed. The friend wasn't able to get information. So this raised the issue. Was the girl able to be saved from the fate of being robbed, raped, and killed had Didi been more efficient in dealing with a complaint or being with the request from a friend? That is a question that the police has to find out.
Yes, and also this is... Tinduo, you had something to say.
Yes, I think, you know, as long as you are a private car owner, but as long as you provide this public service, you will be prone to all the regulations. There's no privacy issue anymore because you are a public service provider. You need to be open to this vetting process, to the vetters, to the police, and to the management, in case there's anything bad from happening.
Yes, The latest statement we got from the company is it is cooperating with the Zhejiang local police authorities, and it's... putting more effort into a so-called prompt overhaul of its service. And this time, we gotta see change, because we can't bear more lives lost on this.
The impact usually goes far beyond the incident itself, right? And there's a psychological impact too.
Yes. Yeah. And the regulators must step in. And I think all users of this app and pretty much the whole society is looking at this issue and trying, and we just want to feel safe.
safety is a basic requirement of the public goods the government or the society should provide to its people.
Yes.
And now Didi Chuxing is in the service and is their responsibility. And primary responsibility is upon them.
Is to keep the users and customers safe in these Didi car hailing apps. Cars on the app.
Yes.
Yes, that was a mouthful. You're listening to Roundtable.